Let us pray. Lord, show us, we pray. Show us what you would have us do, who you would have us be, and show us, most of all, your love and your grace. In these words and in the words and thoughts of our hearts, tune our minds to you and open us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Show me, Moses says to God. You would think that after all this time of this intimate contact with Moses going into the tent of meeting every day and the pillar of smoke coming down and obscuring the entrance, you would imagine them sitting together. Walter Brueggemann says that they might have been sitting around like two old guys in prayer shawls with cigars. What a wonderful image of friendship with God. But Moses wants more. Show me, he says, your glory. Show me, Jesus says to the Pharisees who have come to test him. Show me, we say, when we don't understand a concept or an abstraction. Show me, we say, when we don't believe. Previous to this text, Moses has come down with the Ten Commandments and found that the people, either tired of waiting or bored or longing for a visible deity so prevalent in Egypt, have fashioned a golden calf, a god they could see. Moses is furious, smashes the tablets that God has inscribed into pieces, burns them to ash, scatters the ash upon the water, and then makes the people drink it. Then he and God have a little tete-a-tete. These people, God says, and Moses says, well, you gave them to me. But ultimately, their conversation continues, and God's mercy is paramount, and there is a way forward. And so in this text for us today, they are in conversation again. Moses wants to be shown the way. Don't leave us. Let me know that I'm still in favor in your sight. Show me. And then he says, show me your glory, I pray. He goes for broke. Maybe he wants to see physically. He wants to see God's glory, but we don't really know what that means or what Moses means by glory, but that it points to a need for Moses's need to have intimacy with God. Basically, Moses says, I need more than a business relationship with you. This covenant is all right and good, but I want you to know me by face and by name, and I don't know you, and I can't see you, your face. I want reciprocity. Moses wants a deep, personal, intimate connection to God. He wants relationship and connection along with the knowledge and experience of the divine. Now, the Lord says, no one can see my face and live, but I will allow you to see the back and where I pass by. Reverend Dr. Brett Younger writes that Moses wants God to be his guide through the wilderness, to give explicit directions for every stop that's to be taken, exact marching orders twittered from on high. Moses receives no such orders. And God promises only God's presence. Even in this story, where God is palpably present, God is still hidden. We depend so much on what our eyes tell us. And yet we know, in a court of law, eyewitnesses are notoriously unreliable. Our minds make connections and adjustments and adaptations that have nothing to do with the physical reality and everything to do with our perceptions and how they are interpreted. We are indeed like the blind men with the elephant. You have heard that story. All holding on to a piece, and one is holding the trunk and says, it is like a snake. And the other with his hands on the elephant's leg says, no, it is a tree. And another leaning against the side says, it is like a wall. And another grasping the tusk says, it is a sword. Another with the elephant's ear says, this elephant is like a leaf. And another with the tail says, it is a rope. They're all right, And one wonders what the poor elephant may think of this intrusiveness. But the point of the story is that they are all right, but only partially so. Annie Dillard in Pilgrim at Tinker Creek writes a story about a girl who had received her sight a little bit later in life, had had an operation to cure her blindness. And the first thing she saw, she did not, because she had no perception of what she was seeing, she saw things differently. And so she looked at a tree, she said, the tree with the lights in it. And what she was seeing was the sunlight coming through the branches of the tree. And Annie Dillard was amazed at this and wanted to see for herself the tree with the lights in it, but could not, could only see the branches and the leaves, and found that her perception was much diminished because she knew too much. Only once, she said, she squinted her eyes and could see the tree with the lights in it, but it passed immediately. Once, sometimes we're given a glimpse. We can see in other ways. Poets and music help us see where words and our perceptions fail. And we need this. We need these ways of seeing with open hearts and new eyes. God tells Moses what he will reveal. I will make all my goodness pass before you. And you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. This answer suggests that while God values Moses' request, there are limits to what God will reveal. Moses, he says, you would never survive seeing all that you ask for. Instead, I'll show you the kind of God that I am, a God that is both gracious and merciful. And so Moses will see, yes, and he will also have a new way of seeing. In the New Testament text that Kip read this morning, the religious authorities are wanting to test Jesus, to maybe entrap him in insurrection and get him into trouble with the authorities. They ask the question, they want to see, it says right there, they want to see what he will do. Do they pay taxes to the emperor or not? It's a trap. If Jesus says yes, he is a sellout, a capitulator to the hated occupiers and an enemy of Israel. If he says no, he is an agitator, a menace, and a threat to helpless people in an already tenuous and dangerous time. But Jesus asks to see a coin. He says, show me. And then he says to them, what do you see there? Whose face is on this? And of course, they give him the answer, the emperor's. And then he says, give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and give to God what is God's. They are utterly stymied, flabbergasted. They walk away, perhaps frustrated. But the larger issue that Jesus is showing there is looking at images. The image on a coin says that that coin belongs to the emperor. All things with that image belong to the emperor. But what belongs to God then? And those questioners would have known that we are made in the image of God. God says so. And so Jesus is suggesting to them that we, who have God's image stamped on us, belong to God. To remember not only who we are, but whose we are, and to give ourselves utterly to God. He invites us into a new way of seeing ourselves, or a reminder in case we have forgotten. Love, most of all, is what he is asking us to see. The love that God has for us, just as God says to Moses, my goodness shall pass before you. In these stories, God will show us what kind of God God will be, what kind of God is. Jesus reminds us that we are made in the image of God with human form. And our new way of seeing can transform the way we see as well. It can transform our lives, repair broken relationships, or even broken hearts. A pastor named Rick, who on his blog site says this, follower of Jesus, father of two, husband of one, Episcopal priest, one book down, one blog up, surrounded by empty jars of Nutella. This is how he sees himself. And he writes about this passage. God passed by, but Moses wasn't allowed to look yet. He wasn't allowed to look until God had already passed, and then Moses was able to see the place where God had just been. Our English texts usually say that Moses could, quote, see his back, but that's an inaccurate translation. Moses didn't catch any sight of the body of God. He saw the place where God just was. Think about that. Pastor Rick says, this is how I often experience God in the busyness of life. I'm not anywhere near awake or aware enough to see God's presence in the moment. I'm answering emails, making visits, writing sermons, picking up kids from school, washing the dishes. But when I look back over my day with intention, I can see God's presence so much easier. There is a daily practice called the examine, a nightly examine where you are invited to be in prayer, and there are written guides and online guides, and I like Pray As You Go. They have a daily examine, and they're very British, so they can say, talk to God about where you have seen God's presence. And it helps me at the end of my day to look and remember what just happened. Pastor Rick says, here's the thing, though. If I don't take the time to look, I almost always miss it. God says to Moses, find that crack in the rock and I'll put you there. Open your eyes and see the place where I just was. The Ignatian exercises, which is the examine, place us in the center of these texts and ask us to imagine how God is in the moment and also how God wants us to be in the future. But all we can see is where God just was. It is a new way of seeing. We celebrate communion this morning, and sometimes the memories of communions past or present enfold us into the experience. In other parts of the world, communion is celebrated with tang and bits of pita. In Southern California, a group of church folk met with their neighbors. They were divided by the border chain link fence that separated the countries. And they shared communion, passing juice and Ritz crackers through the fence to each other and praying together. In a prison camp where food and drink are not allowed, prisoners gathered in a small, quiet circle, pantomiming, eating and drinking with each other, sharing in love and imagination and in God's justice. This meal that we share this morning looks back in remembrance to what Christ celebrated with his disciples, and forward to the heavenly feast, back in time and forward in time, and imagines what and who we will be when we know God fully. This is the foretaste. So we'll close the sermon today with an exercise in imagination. So I invite you to close your eyes, and now just cup your hands in front of you, one open hand cupped in another. And now imagine bread. Bread warm from the oven, the texture of it, the smell. Imagine yourself sharing it with those you love and those you don't know. This is the bread of heaven given for you. Now place those hands right on your heart and give thanks. And now, keeping your eyes closed, or you can open them if that's more comfortable, imagine your hands holding a wine chalice and maybe envisioning the beautiful color of the cup or the aroma of the wine, the scent of the fields where it grew, and the taste of juice or wine, the tangy fruitiness as you swallow. Imagine sharing this with those you love and those you don't know. This is the cup of salvation poured out for us all. And now place your hands on your heart and give thanks. And now open your eyes and say amen.